I've decided to open my first savings account.
I've decided to reclaim my health.
I've decided to give faith
a second chance.
Time now for the I've Decided radio show, sponsored by I've Decided, an organization in Peoria designed to motivate people just like you to achieve your goals, from physical to financial health, to learning a new skill or being a better spouse. Now, I've Decided Radio.
Good morning, Central Illinois. You are tuning in to the I've Decided radio show this awesome Sunday morning. I'm Kim Martin, founder of I've Decided and host of your show today. We are so grateful that you have decided to tune in. You are in store for a wonderful show. I know I am excited about our guest today. I've actually just had the pleasure of meeting Michelle for the first time in person. Michelle Sullivan, author of Looking Up, is in the studio with me today. It has more titles than that, but that's the one we'll talk the most about probably. And but I'm so excited to have you in the studio, Michelle, to hear your journey, to learn about more about your book, and also to announce that you're going to be speaking at our April 25th conference. That's exciting. So welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year. We're in the Roaring 20s.
Roaring 20s. You're the first person that said that to me. I'm surprised everybody's not kind of going around saying it, but I haven't heard that yet. I've heard 2020 vision.
Right.
I've heard that a lot, but the Roaring 20s, I like that.
My sister brought that up to me. She goes, we're in the Roaring 20s.
That's awesome. Well, as you know, if you've been tuning into the I Decided show every Sunday, you know that we love to have a conversation with our guest about our weekly winning word. And so the weekly winning word this week is pursue. And I just love that word. The definition is to continue doing an activity or trying to achieve something over a long period of time. All of our dreams can come true if you have the courage to pursue them. And so, Michelle, what a great word for you, because that's pretty much what you're doing.
Right.
And as the retired president from Caterpillar Foundation, yes, you heard that correctly, the president of Caterpillar Foundation, you've just had a lifetime of amazing things. So how did you get to, you know, how did you become the president of the Cat Foundation to writing the book, all of those good things? Where did your journey start?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for listening on this beautiful morning. You know, I was born quite a few decades ago, and I was born with a very rare form of dwarfism called metatrophic dysplasia. So I stopped growing at about 10, and I'm 4 feet tall. And, you know, my parents treated me, you know, like all the other children, like my brother and sister. And, you know, the first person that had a huge influence on my life was the doctor that was there when I was born. And they noticed on day one that there was something a little different about me, and they took x-rays, and they discovered that I had a form of dwarfism, which back in the 60s, was not very, you know, a lot of doctors didn't know anything about it or had even been present when a baby with dwarfism came into the world. And, you know, he looked at my mom and dad and he said, you take her home and treat her like everybody else, which my mom and dad would have done that anyway. But it's always nice to hear that from someone, especially, you know, the doctor back then. And so when you think about it, he really helped set the tone for my life. And so I went to school, did very well, and, you know, I didn't know I was different until I went to school in kindergarten. And the first day, the kid said, what is wrong with you? Why are you so short? And I had no idea. I really just lived my life like I didn't think anything was different. And so, you know, as you go through life, we all have things that we get bullied or teased about, and mine can happen to see very easily with my height. And so, you know, we all go through periods of time where you don't want to go out in public because you get teased and everything. And, you know, with my family support and everything, you power through that. And then, you know, I went through school. I went on to Bradley, and I got a master's from Bradley. And then I interviewed a CAT. And I got on. I knew I wanted to work there. My dad worked there. And, you know, it's a global company. I know I could do a lot of things there. And so I had a nice 30-year career 23 years in, the Caterpillar Foundation presidency came open again. It doesn't come open very often. Maybe four or five people since 1952 had the job. It's a dream job. It was my dream job. I very much like the not-for-profit space, and I very much love Caterpillar, and, you know, the foundation brought those two things together. And so I interviewed, I laid out my vision for the foundation, and luckily I got the job. It turned my life around in a way I could only dream about, working with those in poverty. I traveled the globe, saw some of the people in the most extreme poverty, and yet they inspired me. You know, we're sitting in a hut with a dirt floor and talking with a woman that dreamed about her children going to school, and she could do it because she got a small business loan of maybe $50 so she could farm her hectare, and now her kids are going to school, and that's really how you break the cycle of poverty.
Like public school, like just a regular school, a not regular college, school, but like just a normal education.
And this happened to be in Africa, and I attended some classrooms that were under a tree, and then some that were in huts. I mean, it just depends, but at least they were getting first level of education, which is very key. And anytime you help the girls and women, it really helps break the cycle of poverty because they're the ones that most of the time make the family go. And so, you know, and then I've met some of the most influential, wealthiest people in the world, and they inspire me. So the job really gave me a spectrum of perspective that, you know, I thought I had, but I really think differently now about it and how people of all different backgrounds and so forth really inspire me. And I've looked up to people my whole life, being 4 feet tall, literally. But when you think about it, it gave me the default perspective that I look up to everybody for who they are. So this size challenge that some people look at really changed my perspective my whole life. And so, you know, the presidency did that as well. And so in the book, I talk about that. And I want people to think about how your perspective can change obstacles into advantages. And I tell about, the book's not just about my stories, but about people I've also met who inspire me tremendously, who a lot of people would overlook. And so that's what the book is about. And that's really how my journey started.
Wow. I just, as I sit here and I listen to you share some of that story, it really put it in perspective when you started talking about in being in those poverty-stricken areas and in the huts. And then also, though, on the opposite side of that, being with the wealthiest mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
Just what an array of experience.
Right.
And amazing. It's amazing how God places you in those opportunities to do what you should do.
Right.
Your purpose, which really is probably this book writing thing. We're going to talk about that
right.
when we get back. Welcome back to the I've Decided radio show. You are listening in this morning to our guest, Michelle Sullivan. She is the author of her new book that's about to be released, Looking Up. And you were just sharing some of your early childhood stories and where this book was kind of inspired from. And also, obviously, being the president of the Caterpillar Foundation for the ending part of your career before you retired at CAT. Such an honor and really a sounds very important job. We'll learn more about that. But I was thinking about the story you were sharing, Michelle, about your first day of school. Mm-hmm. And on the break, I asked if I could bring this back up, and you said, sure. And it was when the little boy said, why are you so short? And I just wondered, at 5 years old, what did you say? Like, what happened with that?
Yeah, it's interesting. And on my TED Talk, I kind of go into detail with that story because a lot of people are like, oh, I don't remember what happens at five. But you always remember those pivotal moments in your life, good and bad, mm-hmm. at whatever age, that really you never forget. So you know, I went to school that day all excited. You know, I ran down the hall with my chest that stuck out. My brother had gone to school. I was ready to go to school. And I ran in the room and was so excited and played with the kids just a couple minutes. You know, we were in a circle waiting for the other children. And the boy stood up and said, why are you so short? And it wasn't just that I was short, but I look a little different as well with my skeletal dysplasia. And I didn't know he was talking to me. I acted like he wasn't talking to me. And then the girl on the other side of me said the same thing. And it struck me as, what are you talking? I had no idea. What are you talking about? And then all the kids stopped playing and just stared at me. And I went from the happiest child that day to, oh my gosh, what just happened?
Right.
And you don't understand it. Even if you have something different about you, at five, you don't understand
right.
it. And it's a process as you go through life of, as you grow up, you know, what is this and what do I have to deal with? We all have to deal with things. Like I said, mine was more outwardly noticeable. So I just, you know, as the morning went on, I found myself outside the circle and I wasn't going to say anything. And I didn't. And we've all had those moments in life, though, right? Where you're in the circle and suddenly you're out of the circle. And what do you do about it? So when school got out, I ran to the car and I got in. My mom's all excited. And she goes, well, how'd it go? And I said, is there something wrong with me? And she goes, well, what are you talking about? And I told her what happened. And she goes, well, you know, God makes us all different. And some people are taller than others. And you're going to be more on the short side. And so we talked about it. It didn't really sink in, though. But, you know, as you go through the early years and everybody stares, you do get to notice, like, oh, my gosh, everybody's looking at me. And so it's a process. And I think all children go through that for one reason or another, whether. And, you know, kids find something to pick on you about, whether it's your hair color, your name, you name it. We've all can say in school, oh, I got picked on for this, right?
True.
And so that's what I got picked on. But as I went to a very small school, Robine, which is really a neighborhood school in East Peoria, it was kindergarten through eighth. So I went through school with the same children, and it's a very small school, so there was like 30 in total in the two classes for each grade. And, you know, they got to know me, so after that, it really wasn't an issue. And
They saw
past my right. size, and looking up is really about the default perspective that we all have value, and there are things you can't determine by looking at a scale or a ruler or something like that. You know, our brains are hardwired to judge people by how you look. And we all do that. And we really have to learn not to do that, to really get to know people. So as I went through school, for instance, in second grade, we played this game called Around the World, where the teacher had flashcards and two students got together and whoever said the answer first moved to the next desk. And you worked your way around the classroom and whoever did the best got to get their animal out of the cage on the board and, you know, have it outside the cage. And it was very evident that math was a forte of mine, and because I won all the time and it was very easy for me. And that continued all the way through college math. And so I became known as, you know, oh, Michelle's the winner at, you know, Around the World. It wasn't Michelle's Little. And then in third grade, on a rainy day, we couldn't go out for recess. The teacher taught us how to play chess. And I really got good at it through grade school, and I played in tournaments. And this is in the book about, you know, how your perspective can really be a positive, because going into that big auditorium on a chess tournament, I walked across the floor and I could feel every eye looking at me. Just, I could tell. Because as I got older, the height difference got greater, right? So the kids were much, much bigger than me by that point. And so I went to my desk to play the first game, and the boy's jaw just hit the floor. And here I am climbing up on the chair, like dragging myself up on the chair because it was so tall. And I had to sit on my knees to see over the chessboard. And, you know, I said, hi, I'm Michelle. And he didn't acknowledge me or anything. And I beat him right away. And I went to the front desk to say, you know, I won. You know, where do I go next? And the lady didn't even see me because I barely was above the table, and I had to like yell to get her attention, and I repeated it. And she goes, "Honey, you need to go play your first game." I said, "I did. I won." And she goes, "Nobody can win that quick." I said, "No, really, I won." And that repeated through the day, and I kept winning, and I ended up winning the tournament. And it's interesting because the next tournament, I went in, and all the kids wanted to be around me. And one of the boys tells his mom, "Hey, this is the girl that won." It wasn't, "Hey, this is the little person," or they used the term midget, which is a bad term, but, you know, it was, "I won. I was a chess champion." And so it's funny how, one, when you really get to know people behind what you see, and also keep pursuing and showing your value, and also looking that everyone has value, and you have to take the time to really see that and get that and acknowledge with people that, you know what, I have time for you. I want to get to know you. And in today's world, there's a lot of divisiveness. And I find that hard to understand because we're very judgmental and for a variety of reasons. And we're not taking the time to get to know people. And I think that's a shame because I know in the first 15 seconds if someone's going to see past my size. And, you know, it can be a challenge sometimes if they don't. And it's like you just need to move on and because other people will.
Yeah. So good. That's so good, Michelle. So your book is entitled Looking Up.
Right.
And you've been giving us a good preface to why.
Mm-hmm.
But at what point, well, we're going to have to take a break here in just a few seconds. But, you know, at what point did you know you were going to write this book? Has it been real recent or have you known you were going to write a book for a long time?
Right.
A long
time. I'll talk about that.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. We'll be right back, guys. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the I've Decided radio show. I'm Kim Martin, founder of I've Decided and host of your show today. I'm in the studio with the awesome Michelle Sullivan. It has just been such a pleasure to listen to your story, Michelle, and to get to know you and learning about your book, Looking Up. So I hope you guys are enjoying this show as much as I am. We're talking a little bit about our weekly winning word, pursue. But obviously, as you hear Michelle's story unfold, she is certainly pursuing her dream of becoming an author and speaker and writing her book and sharing her story. And we love that. And I especially love that. You know, that's what we do at I've Decided. Our purpose is to help you achieve your goals and your dreams, whatever they might be. So whether or not you want to write your own book or get out of debt, live healthier, finish school, open your own business, whatever it is that you aspire to do, we want to go alongside of you at I've Decided and help make sure that you are successful. That is the key, success. Everybody desires something, but we want to make sure that you successfully achieve it. We have an amazing conference happening coming up on Saturday, February the 1st at Weaver Ridge here in Peoria. And also, if you're a member of I've Decided, you know you have access to all of our conferences. And so we'd love for you to join our community. You can do that. It takes just a couple minutes at ivedecided.org. You can go and check out the conference and see all the details, the great speakers we have. We'll be unfolding them over the next few weeks on the radio show for you as well. And we'd just love to have you as a part of our community. Love to meet you and see you at the conference. It's going to be an epic year. I think epic is going to be my word for this year. I don't know why. I've been using it towards the end of 2019, and it's just been popping out at me everywhere. And we're kind of going into that sixth year in our business, you know, with I've Decided. And I just feel like God is just about to unleash what we've been doing and what we've been building. And I just really believe that it's going to be an epic year. And I think you're going to have an epic year too, Michelle.
I think so too. It's quite exciting.
It is. It's very exciting. And new year, it's like a clean slate, fresh.
Right.
You don't know what's coming. We know it's not all going to be good and bad. It's all mixed in. But there's something exciting about the unknown, I guess. You know, we can look back on 2019 and now we know everything that was going to happen.
Right.
But looking forward, we don't know what's going to happen. But I'm excited about your book coming out. I am definitely going to buy that book and read it right away. I just love the title, Looking Up.
Yep, very positive.
It's a very positive title. But so the gist of the book, I know it can be, we talked about this before we started recording, for business, for personal, spiritual, it can go in a lot of different influential ways.
Right.
But where was your heart behind this book? What did you want it to accomplish, like the message? What's the ultimate message?
The ultimate message is how your perspective really influences so many things in your life, and also how you look at other people and how people look at you. And as I said earlier, the world is a bit divisive today with how we are talking to each other or different groups of people. And you don't even know the people. And so if you really take the perspective that that person has value and really get to know them, and sometimes you have to make the first move. That's a chapter in the book. For me, I can tell when I walk in a room if people are nervous around me or they're going to welcome me. And so I believe that at a very young age, I learned to make the first move. I have to speak first. And my parents would tell you I probably came out gabbing from the start. I have the gift of gab. And I don't know if I was born with it or if I developed it, because I could tell that people sometimes were hesitant around me. And so it's things like that. Whatever tools you have to use, and I talk about different ways that I do in the book, you know, what works for you in what situation, whatever it is you're trying to pursue. And so for years, people have told me I needed to write a book, but I really didn't feel I had anything to write about. And then as I got closer to the end of my 30 years, and a large part was from the foundation work, I realized that my perspective has been broadened so much, and I got to meet so many different people that I would have never met. And I learned so much about people in those situations that now was the time. And so about 2 years ago, I really started thinking about what would the book's premise be. And it is about perspective. And so when you pick it up, if you're a person of faith, there's a thread of faith in the book, because that's important to me. And if you're a person that's hesitant to ask for help, for me, asking for help is a strength, not a weakness. Rarely in life do you do anything totally alone. Think about it. Anything you've accomplished, did you really do it all by yourself? Or was there a group of people who have helped you along the way? And I write about my village and my kitchen table. Those are concepts I talk about all the time. When you need something or you're really pondering something, who's at your kitchen table? Who can you truly sit and bounce things off of with no judgments? And then we all have a village around us. You know, I need help every day. So for me, my village is very large. And I'm a part of other people's village. You know, that's another piece of the book is, you know, what's the real impact that a person can make? And for me, it's giving of yourself. And so it works both ways. The book is not just one-sided about your perspective, but how your perspective can help others and how you can give perspective to others. And so that's the key in the book, is about perspective.
Perspective.
And now was the time to write it. And it culminated, you know, where this year, I knew I'd have this year to finish the book. And of course, you know, there's a lot to publishing a book, and the marketing and everything is what we're getting into now with less than 2 months to go. And so I'm very thankful for the people that have helped me and led me along the way, because I've not been in this literary world before. And so I'm very grateful.
That's awesome. I don't know, when you said one of your chapters is make the first move, is that a good for chess if you make the first move?
It can be, yeah. You know what? It can be. And think about, you know, when you walk in a room, we all scan the room, right? First thing you do, you don't look for somebody you don't know. You look for somebody you know. And if you don't know anybody, you look for somebody that seems to at least show body language that they're open to you talking to them, right?
Right.
And so you, a lot of times you have to make the first move. I always have to make the first move. I feel that way. I probably don't have to because the world's a lot more accepting of, you know, people in my situation, whether it's size or disability or anything. I think we're more open in a lot of ways today than we were, you know, decades ago. But still, I feel like I go up and talk to somebody and just start chit-chatting. And it's fun to meet new people. It's fun to have new challenges. And don't be afraid.
Awesome. I was sitting here wondering, do I make the first move when I go into like a networking? I think it depends on the day.
Yep, it does.
Yeah, it really does.
And some days you will. Yeah, and some days you're like, not today.
I know.
And that's okay.
We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the I've Decided radio show. I'm in the studio today with Michelle Sullivan. You've been tuning in, listening to her amazing journey in this life and all the amazing things that she's had the opportunity to do, including her newest adventure, writing her first book. I say first, maybe there's more, who knows? Writing her first book, Looking Up. And it's just been wonderful, Michelle, hearing your story and just as I hear you unfolding all of your journey here with us, I can see the book come into life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of books I like to read, you know, the ones that are have that impact that you can just really, I call them, they're revelation. I'm going to make up a word here. Revelational. I do that sometimes. But it brings out the revelations.
Right.
What I mean is you hear something in a different way than you've ever heard it before. And now all of a sudden you have that aha moment, like how you can apply it to your life and you see how it can help you be successful. And I feel like that's what your book's going to do. It's going to have that kind of impact for people. Looking up. And I think it could go in so many different ways. You know, we all look up to something, or when you're feeling down, look up. I mean, just so many
Analogies. How do you change your perspective, right?
Changing your perspective.
And how do you do that? Everybody does it in a different way. And depending on the day, you know, maybe you go outside and take a walk, or you have coffee with someone. I mean, every situation is different, and that's what's important.
Yeah.
And, you know, you also have an impact on people's lives. You know, when you think about the doctor that was there when I was born and said, take her home and treat her like everybody else, about 12 or 13 years later, my mom gets a call, and the doctor had retired by then, and he went to the trouble of finding us and our phone number, and his daughter had given birth to a baby who had dwarfism. And he remembered us, and he asked my mom what we found out from a medical standpoint, where we went, where they took me for treatment and so forth. And so it's interesting how it came full circle from the day I was born to then his grandchild, you know, being born with a form of dwarfism. And so you just never know. And I've had people do that for me, you know, who I met many years ago and were such an influence on my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do that for other people. And that's a very real form of impact to me. That, to me, is the best impact.
Yeah, that's an amazing story.
Yeah, what does that add to that?
I mean, that's an amazing testimony in itself, that's for sure. Now, I know we talked a little bit about the Cat Foundation. And I just, you know, real briefly, I know a lot of us, I mean, obviously we're in Central Illinois. We're familiar with CAT.
Mm-hmm.
My husband works at CAT. So many people here work for CAT, but we don't hear CAT Foundation as much. That's the not-for-profit side of CAT?
Yeah, so that's the philanthropic arm of Caterpillar, and each year they invest a certain number of dollars into the foundation, and then the foundation team invests it around the world, and they're very generous, and you know, for the foundation, the employees and customers and dealers work so hard, you know, for the profits. You know, you have a big responsibility in the foundation to invest it very wisely where it makes a huge impact. And so it was such a privilege for me to be in that role. It had been a dream of mine. And when it came open, I pursued it. and it worked out for me, and it just was a life-changing role for me, and what a way to go out. I couldn't imagine doing any other role besides that because of all the interesting things you got to do, the wonderful people you got to meet. You got to see the company change people's lives. You know, for me, the company works on societal infrastructure, and the foundation works on human infrastructure. Need both of those to make a difference in, you know, the world. And so it was just a privilege. And so it's the philanthropic arm of the company. And it's going, you know, it goes very well around the world, the investments. And so it was certainly my privilege to be in that role.
And I'm sure they feel the same about having you as their president at that time. So obviously some of the your physical disabilities and things that you've had to deal with had an influence on this book.
Mm-hmm.
But you talked about making the first move, right?
Right.
Was there something that you drew from your presidency over managing all these people in this huge foundation that you might have applied to the book? Was there?
Sure. You know, there's foundation stories in the book for sure. And it's because whatever situation you're in, making the first move is applicable, and things like asking for help and collaboration is a key for the foundation. You know, the foundation doesn't actually do the work on the ground. We partner and collaborate with not-for-profits around the world. And it's interesting because we were talking about labels earlier. People say, oh, you work for CAT, you must be Republican. Oh, gosh, you're in the foundation, you must be a Democrat. And I go, you know, I'm a collaborator. And what I mean by labels, right? And
right.
So I don't take sides. It's what do we do to make a difference in these people's lives, and what investment can give us the best ROI? So I was on the business side for 23 years, and so I ran the foundation like it was a business. What gives us the best return for those dollars? Because we don't have unlimited dollars at the foundation, so we want to make the best investment. And so that's talked about in the book, how we go about it with our partners, and they're the ones that actually execute the investments. But collaboration is key, and it goes along with all the things in life. I talked about the kitchen table and the village. That's collaboration, and that's support. And so that is prevalent throughout the book. And I talk about people I've met, you know, who have been such marvelous examples of that concept. And that's what I hope people can get something from for their own, you know, situation.
Oh, yeah. I love the word collaboration. That's so great. Awesome. Well, we're coming to a close here. Your website is?
LookingUp.com.
You can go to LookingUp.com. You can go right there today and pre-order your book. And right after you pre-order your book, you can head right over to IHaveDecided.org. Join our community so that you can have access to all three of our motivational leadership conferences, among many other tools and resources that you'll need to be successful in achieving your goals and dreams. And you will be able to see Michelle live in person at our half-day conference on April 25th, as she's going to be one of our speakers. And I know she's going to be super famous, so you want to make sure to meet her while you can. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank
for
you
being
so
here.
Much.
Have
Thank
a
you.
Rest of a good Sunday, everybody. We'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to I've Decided Radio, sponsored by I've Decided, a local organization designed to help motivate you to reach your goals. Listen every Sunday morning at this time for I've Decided Radio. For more information, go to IveDecided.org. What will you decide?